Thank you, worship team. You may be seated. I want to welcome you to Cascade Hills today. If you're joining us online or you're here with us in the room, we're so glad you guys are here. My name is Keith Nicholson, and I'm the children's pastor here at Cascade Hills. Now, normally, I'm not upstairs. They have me downstairs with the kids, and I'm teaching them down there. And if you're a parent, please don't worry. I promise you, we have your kids covered downstairs today. But it is a blessing to be here. We have a really exciting thing coming up for our kids. It's called Kids Week. You heard a little bit about it earlier. Kids Week is a week-long time where your kids can come. We have an incredible time. And just picture this entire facility filled with kids. Last year, I think we had, 940? And it was so funny. I was getting ready to come up to the service, and my assistant, Melanie, she said, "Hey, Keith, listen, I just need to let you know something real quick." I said, "Okay, Melanie, what's that?" She said, "We're still a month out, but we've already pre-registered 625 kids. Now, y'all are clapping, but I'm panicking. No, I'm just kidding. We are ready for that. And I want to encourage you to do something. Number one, pray for us. Also, online, if you're watching, your kids can join us online during Kids Week. It's June 20th through the 24th. But if you're in this room, I want to encourage you to do a couple things. Number one, not just pray, but if you have a talent that God has given you, I want to encourage you to help us because we're going to need a lot of volunteers. And here's the cool thing about Kids Week that I can tell you is it transforms the lives of kids for eternity. And if you want to make an eternal difference, I want to encourage you to sign up. There'll be some sign-up tables in the awning. You can also sign your kids up to register. We'd love to have them. Now, today, I'm so thankful to be here. When Pastor Brent asked me to come and preach today, immediately I began to pray. And I said, "God, you're going to have to tell me what it is that I need to share." And I spent some time in a quiet time. I was praying. I was reading my Bible. But another thing that I love to do when I'm just spending time with the Lord is this. I listen to music. And the music you just heard, that's the music I listen to from our worship team. That is so just rich in Scripture. And as I begin to listen to the songs, that song you just heard, "All I Need," just kept resonating within me over and over and over again. And as I began to pray, I said, "God, what is it that you want me to preach on?" That song kept coming over. And especially that little bridge line. "When I'm stuck in the waiting, I run to you. When my walls are caving, I run to you. When the seas are raging, I run to you." And it got me thinking, that whole song is based on Psalms 23. Psalms 23 is written by David. And by the way, Psalms is in the Old Testament. It's written by David. Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible, let me tell you a little bit about David. David is the one who defeated the giant Goliath. David was also the second king of Israel. And God actually called David a man after God's own heart. But David went through some difficult times. And that got me thinking, we all go through difficult times. Is there anyone in here that can raise their hand and say, "Hey, Keith, I've never been through a difficult time"? Anybody? If your hand is raised, you might need to go see Pastor Brent's message last week on strongholds because you might not be telling the truth. Because we know we all struggle with different things. We go through difficult times. Psalms 23, I want to read to you this verse. But before I do, I want to share with you, when God put this on my heart and I kind of felt led to kind of speak from this, I went to Pastor Clint and the worship team, especially Carly and Taylor. The three of them actually wrote this song. And I started asking them, I said, "Hey, listen, tell me where this song came from." Well, what was so neat, and I didn't even know this, they said, "Keith, what most people don't know is we wrote that song in the middle of the pandemic." And I'm thinking, man, you talk about when the seas were raging. We all face that. And then I probed a little bit more because those taglines I loved. I said, who came up with the line, "When I'm stuck in the waiting"? And Carly said, "That was me." She said, "I was going through a time where I was having to wait." And I said, man. And then Clint shared with me his experience, and so did Taylor. And it just convinced, and it was one of those things the Lord just said, "Keith, this is what I want you to speak on." So what I'd like to do is I'd like to start by reading the 23rd Psalm with you. If you have your Bible or device, you can take it out. We'll also have it up here on the screens. But Psalms 23, let me start with this and read it to you. It says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." I entitled the message today, "All I Need." Let's keep reading. "He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right path and brings honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, when God put it on my heart to share that message, I've got to tell you, I've preached the 23rd Psalm before. But the times I've preached it has always been at a funeral. And as I begin to look at this, I'm thinking, you know, it's very comforting at a funeral. But it's even more comforting with what God has for us today. And what I'd like to do is I want to share with you just three simple points of the different types of struggles, the different things that we all go through. And I want to share with you some stories from the Bible about those. The first struggle that I think we all face is this: it's an external struggle. It's things that are happening around us on the outside. When the seas are raging, I run to you. You know, I mentioned the pandemic. That was around us. Other things would be you lose a job, the loss of a loved one, battling an illness. When the seas are raging, I want to share with you a story from the Bible. And if this is okay, I want to share with you the story, and I want to read some key verses from it. And this is found in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Now, Mark is in the New Testament, and it's a story that happened to Jesus. Jesus had been teaching all day, and he had just finished with his disciples, and they were preparing to go across the Sea of Galilee. Now, you remember, Jesus had 12 people he chose. They were his disciples, and a lot of them were fishermen, so they had boats. But there was a problem in taking a boat across the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is a very large sea. It's as long as 14 miles long, and the width is 8 miles wide. So this is a big sea. And the problem is this: the boats that these fishermen had were meant to be close to the shore. It wasn't meant to travel a long distance. So that was the first issue they were going to run into. And then the second issue was going to be this: the Sea of Galilee, the way it's situated, is a lot of storms can come up real quickly and suddenly. And so that's exactly what happened. And by the way, when we're dealing with a storm, isn't it so often that it happens suddenly? It's unexpected. It's something we're not planning. Well, this is what happens to Jesus. I want you to look here in Mark chapter 4, verse 38. And here's what happens. Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care? We're going to drown." Now, I think that's a funny statement there, thinking, "Don't you care, Jesus, that we're going to drown?" That's how scared these fishermen were. They were used to being on the water, but they were afraid. But listen to what Jesus does in verses 39 and 40. "When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Silence, be still.' Suddenly, the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?'" You know what Jesus did right there? Is he said, "Did you forget that I'm in the boat with you?" So many times, when we're going through an external storm, we forget who's in the boat with us. We forget who the expert is. I want to share with y'all a story that happened to me recently. And God has a way of kind of just communicating with me sometimes to help me understand things. And hopefully this will help you as well. I'm going to give y'all a true confession. I grew up in Mobile, Alabama. And in Mobile, I loved being in Mobile, but there's one thing that I never had that I always wanted. I always wanted a truck. I thought, you know what? I would look good in a truck. I really want a truck. And so it wasn't until recently that I finally got a truck. And I was so excited to get this truck, but when I got it, I realized something real quickly. I like driving the truck, but if I ever have a trailer on this truck, I can't back it up. It is awful. I mean, I'm bad at this. And the staff knows this. So here's what happens. We're doing some renovation in the church, and Scott, our business administrator, comes to me and he says, "Hey, Keith, I need you to do me a favor." And I said, "Yes, Scott, I'll do anything for you." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Listen, I need you to take my truck and a trailer and go pick up some doors." And I looked at him, I said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "Scott, you know I can't back up a truck, and especially with a trailer." He said, no, "You ain't got nothing to worry about. You're going to be able to just whip up there, and they'll load it in, and you'll be gone." And I'm thinking, okay. Now, mind you, he's got a brand new truck. And I'm thinking, I'm going to mess this truck up. I can just see it. So here I am. I get in this truck, and I drive over to where he gives me the directions. I get out, and I go inside, and I meet this guy. He's a super nice guy. We start talking about trucks. He tells me how long he's been driving trucks and how he can back them up and all this stuff. And I'm like, "This is awesome." And then he says, "Okay, now you need to pick up these doors, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "Okay, pull around back and there's a loading dock and that's where you're going to go." Well, when I pulled around, it was an alley. And I start to immediately shake my head. I said, "This is going to be bad." And so only by the grace of God, I promise you, I pull in, and when I backed up perfect. And I'm thinking, okay, this isn't so bad. He loads the doors up for me, but then it's time for me to get out. It didn't go so well. I start backing out, and I know they tell you you're supposed to think one way and go the other and back it this way and back the other. My brain did not work that way. 5 minutes goes by, and I'm not moving. I mean, I'm trying to back up. I start to sweat. I've got sweat pouring off my face. I turn up the air conditioner as high as I could get it, and I keep going. 10 minutes go by, and I'm thinking, this is not going to end well. And then finally, I look over on the dock, and the guy that I've been talking to, he was so gracious. He was standing there, and he wasn't laughing. He was just standing there. And I thought, what am I doing? So you know what I did? I put it in park. I got out of the truck, and I walked over to him, and you know what I said? I said, "Hey, could you back this trailer up for me?" And he looked at me and smiled. He said, "I thought you'd never ask." But you know what I realized from that? Why don't we just go to the expert? He knew how to back up trailers. I should have gone to him in the first place. When we're going through external storms, go to the expert. Go to who's in the boat with you. The second type of storm that I think we face is this. It's an internal storm. Now, an internal storm is emotional things that are going on inside of you. It could be worry. It could be fear. It could be addictions. It can be doubt. It can be saying, "God, am I enough? What's your plan that you have for me?" It's the internal struggles. The line I love, "When the walls are caving, I run to you." That's an internal struggle. I want to share with you another story from the Bible, and this is found in the book of John. It's John chapter 4, verses 1 through 26. And again, this is a story that happened to Jesus and his disciples, and they were traveling from Judea to Galilee. Now, along this way, you come across a city by the name of Samaria. Now, you need to know this. The Jews and the Samaritans did not get along very well. A matter of fact, the Jewish people disliked the Samaritans so much that many times they would go around Samaria so they didn't even have to go through it. But Jesus had a different plan. Jesus takes his disciples and they go right through Samaria, and Jesus goes and sits at a well, and it's about lunchtime. And he sits at the well and he tells his disciples, "Hey, listen, y'all go find some food. I'm going to stay here." Look what happens in John chapter 4, verse 7. It says this. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. Now, what's interesting about this is, remember, it's lunchtime. When people would go to draw water in those days, they would go in the early mornings because it was cooler. Because drawing water is a hard process. It's something that's not easy. But this woman was coming at noon. The reason was there was an internal struggle going with inside of her. She was worried about what other people thought of her. She wanted to go to a time when nobody else was there. She probably was also thinking, what do I even think about myself? So she was facing these internal struggles. But listen to what happens in John chapter 4, verse 9. It says this, the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking for a drink? But then Jesus replied in verse 10, if you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. You catch that? If you only knew the gift that God has for you. What ended up happening is, she said, how can I ask you for water? You don't even have a bucket. And Jesus said, you're missing the point. I have something greater than that. He began to tell her stories about herself that nobody else knew. And then Jesus went on to reveal to her that he was the Messiah. And what was so awesome, this woman ended up going to get her family and friends, brought them to Jesus, and many people came to know Jesus that day. But I want you to look again, John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus' response, she's dealing with an internal struggle, and Jesus says, if only you knew the gift that God has for you. God has a gift for all of us. I want to show you something that I have back here. I have a clay pot, and in this clay pot, this is a pine tree. Now, if you know anything about pine trees can grow to anywhere between 50 to 80 feet tall. Now, what I did is I put it in a clay pot. Now, it's convenient because I can carry it around, but there's a problem. Because I put this in this clay pot, this pine tree can't grow to 50 or 80 feet because it's confined by this pot. The only way this pine tree can become what it's meant to be is I have to do something. I have to take this pot and I have to break it. Now I can take it and I can plant it, and this pine tree can be what it was meant to be. You know, so many times when we're going through an internal struggle, there takes a breaking in us to become who God wants us to be. I was sharing the message with Pastor Brent, and it's so neat. We love to talk to each other about our messages, and he said, Keith, I got something I want to share with you. He said, that breaking, he said, it really just touches me. He said, do you remember when Jesus fed the 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes? I said, yeah. He said, do you remember what Jesus did? He took the bread, then he broke the bread. He took the bread, then he broke the bread. But it didn't end there. Then he blessed it. Some of you are going through a difficult time, a time of brokenness, a time where you feel like, God, I feel broken. You know, God, what's going on? God's taking you, and he's breaking you. But he's breaking you for your good, so you can become all that he has for you. But the best part's yet to come. He wants to bless you. The third struggle that we all go through is this. It's a spiritual struggle. When I'm stuck in the waiting, I run to you. The last story that I want to share with you from the Bible is a story, when you first hear it, you're probably going to say, Keith, that sounds more like a physical thing than a spiritual thing. But bear with me and just listen, okay? This is a story about a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus, and it's found in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Now, Jesus again was with his disciples. They were traveling to Jericho. There was a blind man who was Bartimaeus. Now, the Bible does not tell us how long he had been blind. We just know he was blind. In Mark chapter 10, verse 47, here's what it says. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 48, "Be quiet." Many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and he called Bartimaeus to him. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, he jumped up, and he went to Jesus. Now, in 51, look at what he said. When he got to Jesus, "What do you want me to do for you?" asked Jesus. Now, that seems like an obvious question, but God wasn't looking at just the physical. He wanted to see where he was spiritually, where his heart was. Bartimaeus says, "My rabbi," the blind man says, "I want to see." And then catch this verse. 52 says this, "And Jesus said to him, 'Go, for your faith has healed you.'" Did you catch that? Go, because your faith has healed you. This was a spiritual thing going on with Bartimaeus. God did an incredible work in his life. He was able to see, but the greater work was what he did with Bartimaeus' faith. He had to take Bartimaeus through this process to get him to where he needed to be. I want to show you something back here that I have. I have a wooden arrow. Now, if you see this arrow, and if anybody is into archery, you'll see that this is a wooden arrow. But if you know anything about archery, you know that a wooden arrow does not start out like this. It starts out like this. A stick. In order to get this stick to become like this, you know what you have to do? You have to shape off the rough parts. You have to smooth it out. You have to apply heat to it. You have to stretch it and bend it and mold it so it'll become this. This can be used. This is a stick. What God is doing, if you're going through a spiritual struggle right now, is he's doing that same process in your life. He's scraping off the rough edges. He's smoothing you out. He's applying heat so you can be used by him. It's never easy to wait. I've got to tell y'all something. I'm not good at waiting. And a lot of times when you're stuck in the waiting, we tend to compare ourselves to other people. I want to share with you a quote that I recently saw, and I just want to tell you before I show you this quote, this was not a spiritual quote, but I love it because it's so applicable to what we're talking about right now. This is a quote by Elon Musk, and he said this, "Don't compare your chapter one to somebody else's chapter 20. When you're going through a spiritual struggle, it's so easy to look around and say, "God, look at their life. Look at where they are. Why can't I be there?" What God is saying is don't compare your chapter 1 to their chapter 20. God is doing a work in you, and he wants to shape you into who he wants. Now, the 23rd Psalm, it tells us who God is. I entitled this message, "All I Need." I want to share with you some things that the 23rd Psalm says that God is to us. Here's what it says. In verse 1, it says, "God provides for me." Verse 2, "He gives me rest." Verse 3, "He leads me." Verse 3 again, "He renews and he restores me." Verse 4, "He protects me." Verse 4 again, "He corrects me." Verse 5, "He feeds and he comforts me." Verse 6, "He loves me." And verse 6 again, "He gives me a forever home." God is all I need. Now, one of the things that I do when I teach with the kids downstairs, it's a very simple thing, is I always like to give them a takeaway. I like to give them things that I want them to remember. And so what I want to do is I want to do the same thing with you guys today in the room and online. I want to share with you three takeaways that I think we can learn from these stories. The first takeaway is this. We will all go through hard times. So many times when people become a Christian, they're under the assumption that, well, now that I have Jesus in my life, bad things aren't going to happen. And unfortunately, I got some bad news. That's not true. It's not true. A matter of fact, the opposite is true. Look at what Psalms chapter 23, verse 4 says. It says this, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." Did you catch that? Even when. You will go through difficult times. There's another verse that I love, and it's a verse in John. It's John chapter 16, verse 33. And this is Jesus speaking. And listen to what Jesus says. He says this, "I've told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." The first thing I want you to know is we all are going to go through difficult things. The second thing that I want you to remember for this is God can use our difficulties for his good. Listen to this. Psalms chapter 23, verse 5. "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing." What David is saying there is he's saying, you're preparing a feast and I'm in the midst of a trial. My enemies are all around me, and you're blessing me. Another verse that I absolutely love is from Romans chapter 8, verse 23, and it says this, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love and are called according to his purpose." God uses things for his good. I want to share with y'all something and be a little transparent with you. 5 years ago, we went through, as a family, an internal struggle. And I want to tell you, it was the hardest struggle that I think I've ever faced. So many times when people see a minister or pastor, you think, oh, you know, everything must just be so simple for you and it's so easy. But you know what? We go through difficult times too. And it was during this time that, I'll be honest with you, I was struggling. I know it says we're supposed to run to God, but what I wanted to do is I wanted to run away. I'm like, God, I can't do this. This is too hard. It's too difficult. And I'll never forget my wife coming to me and said, "Hey, you need to go talk to Pastor Bill and Pastor Brent." And I said, "I don't want to talk to Pastor Bill or Pastor Brent. I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to be left alone." And she said, "No, go talk to him." And so I'll never forget the day that I walked in the office with Pastor Bill and Pastor Brent, and they're sitting there, and I begin to tell them my story and what I was going through. And I'll never forget the words that Pastor Bill said. He stopped me, and he said, "Stop." He said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "You're not going anywhere." And I said, "What?" He said, "You're not going anywhere." He said, "Because you need us, and we need you." And those words changed that whole situation. When I had somebody that when I was going through a difficult time could hold up my hands and look me in the eyes and say, "You need us and we need you." Those words meant more than anything I could ever say. And there's some people in this room, you're going through some difficult times. I want to encourage you to do something. We have an incredible program called Celebrate Recovery. The reason we have that program is if you're going through internal struggles, like I have, you can come along other people that can say, "We've been there. We're here for you. You need us, and we need you." That's also the reason we have life groups. Is so you can be along other people who are dealing with the same things you are. Here's what I can tell you. When you go through a difficult time and God uses it, he then wants you to do something with that. He wants you to use that to help other people. When I went through this difficult time, it helped me realize that I'm not alone. Other people are going through that. And God has used that for me to encourage other people. And so if you've gone through a difficult time, I want to encourage you, use that. Help somebody else. Because every person sitting in here, I want to tell you something. Cascade Hills needs you, and you need us. God works all things together for His good. The last thing I want to leave you with is this. God is changing you into who He wants you to be. Psalms chapter 23, verse 6 says this, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." Did you catch that? Your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of your life. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and it says this, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." God wants to do a work in your life. You know, the three stories that I shared with you today from the Bible, Jesus calming the storm, Jesus and the woman at the well, and Jesus and Bartimaeus, all had one thing in common. That one thing was Jesus. And I want to leave with you and ask you a question today. Here's my question to everybody in this room and everybody online. Is Jesus in your boat? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, notice I didn't say, do you know of Jesus? So many times here in the South, we're guilty of coming up to somebody and saying, hey, do you know Jesus? Oh, yeah, I know of Jesus. It's not do you know of Jesus. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? There's a lot of people I know of. I know of Tom Brady. I know of Denzel Washington. I even know of the President of the United States. But guess what? I don't have a relationship with any of them. But I do have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know Him. I have a personal relationship with Him. Jesus is in my boat. Now, you may be sitting here, you may say, Keith, look, you don't understand what I've been through. You're right, I don't. But here's what I do know. You've got a loving God who wants to have a relationship with you. Let me tell you why we need a relationship with God. Do you realize when God created man, He created us to have a relationship with Him? But something happened to change that. It's a word called sin. Basically, what a sin is anything that we've done against God. And the Bible is very clear in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We've all sinned. We've all messed up. And what happens is that sin separates us from God. Because God is a holy God. He has to judge sin. A matter of fact, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says this, "For the wages or the price of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." The punishment of sin is death. But you know what God did? He loved us so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus. Jesus came, He walked on this earth and lived a sinless life and took that punishment of death. When He died on the cross, it wasn't just Him. He was dying for each and every one of our sins. But there's something we have to do. There's a word called repentance. Now, a lot of times we don't use that word a lot, but let me tell you what repentance means. Repentance means I'm moving in one direction and I realize the direction I'm going is the wrong direction. And I'm going to turn and choose to go in the opposite direction. When Jesus preached, He preached, "Repent of your sins and follow me." John the Baptist preached, "Repent and follow Jesus." Here's the thing. You have to be willing to change the direction of your life, the direction you're going. I've heard some youth say before, they said, well, you know, I prayed that prayer and now I can do what I want to do. You know what? If that's your heart, you don't know Jesus. Repent. You must be willing to change what you're doing. And you know what's so awesome? God is waiting there with open arms to welcome you. So I want to ask you something one more time. Is Jesus in your boat? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If you're sitting here today and you say, Keith, I don't know Jesus. Now, again, I've heard Pastor Bill say so many times, people can miss heaven by 18 inches. What that means is the difference from your head knowledge to your heart, having a relationship. And if you would like to ask Jesus into your heart and into your life and have a personal relationship with him, I want to give you that opportunity in just a minute. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say a prayer with you. And if you're here today and you're willing to say, you know, Keith, I know I've messed up. I've made some mistakes. And I realize the only way that I can be forgiven of my sins is because of what Jesus did by dying on the cross. And I want a relationship with him. What I want you to do is I want you to say this prayer with me. Now, let me tell you something. What makes this prayer special is that you mean it in your heart. That you're willing to say, God, I'm willing to repent. I want to follow your way, not mine. So if you would bow your heads with me. And if you're here today and you'd like to ask Jesus to come into your life, I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Let's pray together. Dear God, I know that I have sinned. And Lord, I've messed up. And I've done some things that I'm not proud of. But God, thank you for loving me enough to send your son Jesus to take my place and die on the cross for my sins. Today, the best way I know how, I invite you into my life. Lord, I want a relationship with you.